نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. وبعد، فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، I have to apologize, I'm breathing kind of hard, I have to take a breath. I was trying my best to do some writing, but unfortunately then the time of Salat came from being up last night, and this is the reason why I brought all these books, because I didn't have time. I was hoping that Brother Shaheed and some other brothers whose language is Arabic, alhamdulillah, I see at least two or three brothers whose language is Arabic, so that if I, being a non-Arab, and my language not being Arabic, I'm making a mistake, they can make some corrections, or rectifications, or clarifications, or whatever. What we intend to do this morning, inshallah, and really because I'm not really all that prepared, even though you see the stack of books here, is make a refutation, as the people of the past did, and I have decided, as I told my wife this morning, the bid'ah are destroying Islam like they have been doing for centuries. So we have to now call names. We have to make refutations. If we say that we follow da'wah, this da'wah of the Salaf, then we have to come right out. And this is the way the people of the past did it, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies our intentions and our tongues from saying anything that's distasteful or harming any Muslims. But the fact still remains, hattabayyana rushdu min al-ghay, that the right way is distinct from the error. And it has to be made distinct. The haq has to be made clear from the batil. The truth has to be made clear from the falsehood. Because these Muslims that are making these erroneous, way out crazy tafsirs of Quran from their hawa, from their own desires and their lusts, they are wallahi tallahi billahi, they are destroying Islam. They are destroying Islam. And what we intend to do this morning is make a refutation on one of the imams that follows Imam Waraf bin Muhammad, who he calls himself Aramaya, which the correct pronunciation is Aramiya. Aramaya Nu'man in Jersey City, the imam, I still believe, of Masjid Muhammad in Jersey City. And this article that was presented to me yesterday from the Muslim Journal, and unfortunately, I only have a photocopy. I wish I had the actual article, and I hope I have it. It's going to be sad if I don't. This is the article. It's the Muslim Journal, February 17th, 1995, which was how many days ago? This is his quote, excuse me, brothers. This is his A Caution to Muslims, a new translation of Holy Quran by Imam. Come on, Akhi, don't do that. Don't do that. Please, don't do that. Fear Allah, inshallah. By Imam M. Aramaya Nu'man. I've been knowing Aramaya for at least 26 years. At least 26 years. I've always known him, his character, to be a very honorable individual. I've always known him to be that. He's been a very honorable individual, a very respectful individual, a very kind individual, a very decent individual. And through all the things that we went through as former nations, former members of the Nation of Islam, he and myself, he was one of the people that came up, alhamdulillah, smelling like a rose, not like some of those ministers of the past that were corrupt. He was always a very dignified, honorable individual. For Islam, I love him, but also for Islam, I hate his guts. I hate him, because anybody that will lie on Allah and his messenger, you have to hate, even though it's your own mother. You have to do it, brothers. And it's like Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, when the man said to him, Ya Ibn Umar, uhibbuka fillah. He said, Oh son of Umar radiallahu anhumah, I love you for the pleasure of Allah. And then Abdullah ibn Umar said to him, As for me, I hate you for the pleasure of Allah. He said, Why? He said, Because you sing the Azan, like some of you brothers do. Because you sing the Azan, You do that, and you take money for it. You take a payment for it. So I hate you. So for the pleasure of Allah, I love him as a human being and a Muslim, but I hate him. Wallahi, I hate him. I hate anyone who lies on Allah and his messenger. And the time has come, brothers, that we have to call a spade a spade. We have to do it, brothers. If we say that we really are lovers of Allah, and really lovers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and really lovers of this being, we have to protect the Quran from corruption. This is part of the nasiha to the book. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dinu nasiha," that the deen is nasiha, they said, "Qulna," they said, "To who?" We said, "Who? To who?" He said, "Lillahi wa likitabihi wa li rasulihi wa a'immatil mu'mineen wa 'ammatihim." He said, "To the Allah, to the book, to the messenger, to the imams." The deen of nasiha to the imams of the Muslims and the common people. And one of the nasihas to the book, one of the nasa'ih to the book, is that you defend it from defamation. That you defend this book from being corrupted with all these crazy types of ta'wil, these explanations and these tafsirs, from people twisting the meanings of verses and twisting the meanings of the hadith, etc. And it's always going to come with people, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who are going to carry this deen, the honorable, respected, trustworthy people who are going to carry this deen and protect it from this kind of these kinds of things. Now, I don't know, I have to ask Abu Amir permission to mention what you mentioned to me last night. Is it okay? And I feel this is necessary, but you may not feel was necessary. All right. Abu Amir, as you know, is involved in selling books and things like this. He was running the bookstore for quite a number of years, and he has a lot of people that he distributes the books to around the United States. And I heard this before, but not specifically on this particular issue. I now found out that Sheikh Tajuddin Shu'aib, a graduate of one of the Islamic universities in Saudi Arabia, who is one of the imams, or one, not one of the imams, following Imam Waqifi Muhammad, but he oversees that masjid as the imam. Not necessarily that he's a follower of Imam Waqifi Muhammad, hadahullah, may Allah guide him, and all of us, ameen. But he's over that masjid as a teacher and as a guide, etc. As the sheikh of the masjid. Abu Amir told me last night that he now doesn't want to order any more Noble Qurans. This is a man who graduated from the Islamic University. Now Allah knows best his intention, but as I was told from Abu Amir last night, is that because of the quote-unquote fitna of the what's going on there, that he feels it's better not to order this, that, as we mentioned the 3 days ago or 4 days ago, probably, if not the best, one of the best translations that ever... This is a great ni'mah from Allah to have this translation. It's one of the best. Now, he doesn't want to order anymore. What are they going to rely on? Yusuf Ali? The translation and commentary of Yusuf Ali, which is replete and filled with bid'ah and shirk and kufr. This is a sad situation. People are turning in their Noble Qurans, taking them back to the bookstores, doing whatever they're doing with them. So now, brothers, inshallah, we intend to make a refutation, not just on our Maya, hadahullah, may Allah guide him, wa iyana, and us, I mean, but on all the people whom they themselves, like our Maya and his imam, now who's changed his name back to Wallace Dean Muhammad, again, we have to make a refutation on the people who they adopted these concepts from, which are all the way back to the Mu'tazila and the Ash'ariya, and the Maturidiyya, and these Jahimiyya, and the Shia, and the Sufis, because they didn't make this stuff up. They borrowed these things, either intentionally or unintentionally, knowingly or unknowingly, from those people who went centuries before us. This is not new stuff. The same kind of translations and interpretations that they're making is not new. They did these things centuries ago. But they're still at fault, because they have the duty, just like you and I, to go back to the Quran and the authenticated Sunnah on the understanding of the companions and their students and their students. That's the only airlines we have to fly. The airlines of Quran and Sunnah and the way our rightly guided predecessors understood it. Now, before we go, and I'm sorry I have all these books, you have to be patient, you know, looks kind of jumbled up here, but I want to just mention some things. Firstly, I have some things in English, inshallah. Anybody who wants a copy of it will get you a copy of it in English. Some things, unfortunately, I don't have in English. And if you just be a little patient, inshallah, I'll try my best to facilitate this, so to make it easier on you. This is a little booklet that was written by one of the great scholars of Islam of the past. It wasn't written by somebody of today, it was written by somebody of the past. And it's on the science of hadith. And if you want further clarification on this, you can ask Sheikh Khidr, who graduated from College of Hadith, or you can ask Abu Usama, who I believe is very proficient in science of hadith, or Abu Muslima, etc. In this book, on the very first page dealing with al-Isnad, and once again, be patient with me, because this is absolutely necessary to mention, to show you the seriousness of this. This is Ahmiyatul Isnad, the importance of the chain, the importance of narration, the chain of narration. In the second paragraph, he brings some statements of the great people of the past. One of them, we learned about in the Aqidah class and Tafsir classes, Sufyan al-Thawri, radiallahu anhu. Sufyan al-Thawri, radiallahu anhu, was one of the eminent scholars of Islam. Listen to what he says about the chain. If those who don't know about the chain, the Isnad or the Sunnah, that is the chain of narrators that's in a hadith or any narration that Muslims use to as a proof, whether it's Quran, because the Quran also has a chain, going back to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just hadith. And the same people that are in the chains of hadith are the same people that narrated in the chains of Quran, so that we can know if the Quran was from Allah. All right? He said, al-isnadu silahul mu'min. Al-isnadu silahul mu'min. The chain of narrators is the weapon of the believer. فَإِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مَعْهُ سِلَاحٌ فَبِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ يُقَاتِلُ. He said if he doesn't have a chain, if there's no chain with the individual, with what thing is he going to fight with? Do you understand, brothers? If he doesn't have a chain of narrators, then what is he going to use to defend Islam with? You see, he reported, I heard from him, he informed me that the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we don't have that chain, we'll be just like the Christians, as mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mubarak al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, one of the scholars of Islam that is renowned, eminent, and he was one of the teachers of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He said, al-isnadu indi min ad-din, lawla al-isnadu laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. He said that the chain, as far as I'm concerned, is a part of the deen of Islam. And if it were not for the chain, then anybody can say whatever they wanted to say. Anybody can say whatever they wanted to say. Another narration I remember, it says, Al-Isnadu min ad-Din, wa lawla al-Isnad, la asabana ma asab al-Din al-Yahuda wa al-Nasara. If it wasn't for the chain, the chain is from Islam, and if it wasn't for the chain, the same thing that has befallen the Jews and the Christians would have befallen us. Meaning, they don't know if Mark said it, Luke said it, Matthew said it, John said it, Paul said it, Cyrus said it. They don't know who said it. As for us, we know if a narration is authentic or not, because the chain has been inspected by the people of knowledge, specifically in the area of hadith, and they inform us of this. And another scholar of Islam, Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu, he said, كانوا في الزمن الأول لا يسألون عن الإسناد فلما وقعت الفتنة سألوا عن الإسناد لكي يأخذوا حديث أهل السنة ويدعوا حديث أهل البدع. He said, in the first period of Islam, they never asked about the chain. Abu Bakr's time, Umar's time, Uthman's time, Ali's time, they never asked about chains of narrators. Never. They didn't do this. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ. But when the fitna came, what fitna is he talking about, brothers? What fitna is he talking about? Huh? People lying, having their own interpretations, their own translations, their own exegesis, their own commentary. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ. When the fitna came, سَأَلُوا عَنِ الْإِسْنَةِ. They start asking about the chain. Because, you know, people are liars now. You don't know, you know, it's, he said this, he said I got it from this person, that from that person. Now you got to start looking at the chain, because people's character started changing, becoming more corrupt. And then he said, لِكَيْ يَأْخُذُوا الْحَدِيثَ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ. So that they would be able to take the hadith from the people who follow the Quran and Sunnah and the Salaf, right? وَيَدْعُوا حَدِيثَ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ. And leave off the hadith from the people of innovation. You see the importance of the chain, brothers? So there's about two or three things we want to mention here that comes specifically from the article, but in general, maybe two things. Now, and I, once again, I wish I had the actual copy, because the person who photocopied it, he left on the very last two paragraphs, something is chopped off. And I don't want to misquote him. So if someone has the article, they can go back and look at it. But we'll do our best, inshallah. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. This is by Imam Aramaya Nu'man. He said, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. That alone I won't touch, because even that of which Imam Waraduddin Muhammad uses as the Bismillah is questionable. The translation of with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor and the merciful redeemer, from the meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in itself is questionable. But we don't have time. He says, as a student of truth, and please don't hem and haw here, brothers, because he's still our brother in Islam. Don't say, a'udhu billah, and he's still our brother in Islam. As a student of truth and the religion of al-Islam, I feel, just like I feel, the person behind this microphone, after being quiet for so long, for 20 years, and for those who think that I haven't been quiet, really, I've been kind of quiet. I've been very quiet for 20 years. As a student of truth in the religion of Islam, I feel that I'm obligated to point out certain things that are not in accord with the spirit. And do you remember, brothers, the classes that we had about 6 or 7 months ago after Fajr on people who use this terminology, the spirit of Islam? Remember that? Remember, we talked about the people, the apologists, and the modernists who use this terminology, spirit of Islam, and it has no basis in the Quran or the Sunnah. You don't find the people of Islam saying the spirit of Islam. You see? You remember I told you those warning signs when you hear these certain words? As a student of truth in the religion of Islam, I feel that I'm obligated to point out certain things that are not in accord with the spirit of the Holy Quran. And of course, we could mention this thing of Holy Quran. We mentioned this before. But there are other Muslims who say they follow the Sunnah who use it also, so we will bypass that. The spirit of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Within the last year, a new translation of the Holy Quran has been promoted very heavily in the United States, especially among the Afro-American Muslims. And now he's implying that it's a plot. And you'll see why I'm saying that. He's implying that it's a plot that is being sent only among the Afro-Americans, like another plot to hoodwink us. He said, this is, quote, the interpretation of the meaning of the Noble Quran in the English language, a summarized version of At-Tabari, Al-Qurtubi, and Ibn Kathir. And before you, brothers, I have At-Tabari, Al-Qurtubi, and Ibn Kathir, the actual books themselves, right here. All right? And with comments from Sahih al-Bukhari, translated by Muhammad Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, rahimahullah, the great scholar of Islam, of tafsir, of Arabic language, of fiqh, from Morocco, who died a few years ago, and he was also a scholar of Arabic, English, German, and French. He didn't just speak them, he was a scholar of these languages. Alright? English, Arabic, German, and French. With degrees. I'm not talking about just you learned it off the cuff listening to somebody standing on the street in Germany. I'm talking about with degrees. Alright? And for my brother in Islam, alhamdulillah, who's still alive, who I'm happy to say that I know personally and I used to visit regularly, Dr. Muhammad Muhsin Khan, hafizahullahu ta'ala. While we wish that Allah will reward them for their scholarly work, we have found in their English translations some wording that may do more harm than good in inviting people to al-Islam. Beginning with al-Fatiha, we quote, and then he has in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, all the praise and thanks be to Allah, the Lord of al-Alameen, and he has in parentheses in the translation, mankind, jinn, and all that exists, the most beneficent, the most merciful, the only owner, and then in parentheses, and the only ruling judge of the day of recompense, in parenthesis, that is the day of resurrection. If somebody has one here, just in case this is a misquote, I would like you to pull it out. There's one right above your head there, Rajan, inshallah. You alone, you, and in parenthesis, it says you, and in parenthesis, alone. We worship, and you, and then in parenthesis, we ask for help. And then in parenthesis, for each and everything. Number six, that's the fifth item. Number six, guide us to the straight way. Number seven, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, not the way of those who earn your anger, and then in parenthesis, such as the Jews, nor of those who went astray, and then in parenthesis, such as the Christians. Is Shahid here still here? Is Shahid here? Say, is it possible you can go in the office? Because I don't have the Ibn Kathir. I just noticed it. Can you just get the first volume of Ibn Kathir? Jazakumullah khair. Then Imam Armaya, hadahullah, may Allah guide him in us. Ameen. He says, pertaining to verse 7, he says, verse 7 creates a problem. I want to quote exactly. Verse 7 creates problems. Not creates a problem, creates problems. Now you know the other morning, we already read from Ibn Kathir, from the abridged, and I have to be honest to tell you, now. Yeah, well, he numbered it as 7. He numbered it as 7. And you can keep this, because I won't be able to, you can read that, inshallah. I'll put you, get you on the microphone, inshallah. Make you a celebrity, inshallah. He says, verse 7 creates problems. He says, in the Arabic of Quran. Now, I have to be very honest. I have to do this. Because the people of the past did this. I know personally how much of the Arabic language Armaya knows. I know personally. I'm not saying what I'm guessing. I know how much of the Arabic language Armaya knows. I know personally. And I know he doesn't understand Arabic. I know for a fact he doesn't understand Arabic. And even if I didn't know that, in his article is an indictment against him to prove that he doesn't know Arabic. And I'll say again, I know personally. You can ask me later how I know. Alright? He says, Allah Almighty God does not mention Jews and Christians. This translation will immediately alienate people who are not Muslims. Our obligation is to invite people to this religion, not turn them away. Alright? Now I'd like to stop here. He dealt with verse 7 only because of what is in the parentheses. It says Jews, meaning غير المقدوب عليهم, meaning the Jews, and وَلَضَّالِينَ, the Christians. It's very interesting that in verse 2, that he has verse 2, all praise and thanks to be to Allah, in verse 4, in verse 5, there are parentheses. There are words بين القوسين. There are words in between the parentheses. If you look in verse 2, it says, all the praise and thanks be to Allah, the Lord of the Alameen. Then in parentheses, it says, mankind, jinn, and all that exists. Why didn't Armaya address that? Because that's not in the Arabic either. You see what he's saying? He's saying that in verse 7, when it says, غَيْرُ الْمَقْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, and then it says in parentheses, Jews, and then وَلَضَّالِينَ, those who went astray, is Christians. He's saying that that which is in the parentheses is not in the Arabic. When you read the Arabic, it doesn't say, are those upon whom the anger of Allah is on, or the wrath, as they say, the anger of Allah is on, meaning the Jews. The word Jew, in other words, he's saying, is not. I don't know if you're with me, brothers, because you're looking kind of sleepy. He's saying that the word Jews is not in the Arabic in Al-Fatiha. And the word Christians is not in the Arabic. But if you look at verse 2, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah doesn't say in the Arabic, mankind, jinn, and all that exists either. Why didn't he address that? Because that's the meaning. And that's why Muhsin Khan, hafizahullah, and Sheikh Taqiyuddin Hilali, rahimahullah, that's the reason why they put it in parentheses, because when you go back to this tafsir at Tabari, and when you go back to Al-Qurtubi, and when you go to Ibn Kathir, it tells you that Al-Alameen kulli shay siwa Allah. That Al-Alameen is everything other than Allah. So that's why they placed it in parentheses to let you know what Al-Alameen means. But it's not there in Arabic. How do we know what it means? Because the Messenger of Allah or his Sahaba told us what it meant. So they're justified in putting it between the parentheses to give the English-speaking person who doesn't know Arabic the benefit of what's mentioned in the Arabic tafsir. Alright? As it mentions, the only owner, after Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then Malik Yawm al-Din, the only owner, and in parentheses, and the only ruling judge. It doesn't say that in the Arabic either. And then, of the day of recompense. And then he puts a parenthesis, i.e. that is the day of resurrection. The day of resurrection is not mentioned in the parenthesis either, but when you go back to the tafsirs, it says, Maliki Yawm al-Din means what? Yawm al-Qiyamah and Yawm al-Hisab. The day of recompense and the day of resurrection. Alright? Then it says, 5, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You, and in the parenthesis, alone. Where's the word alone? in the word in Arabic. Where's the word alone? It's not there. But when you know the Arabic language and you know the tafsir of the ayah, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking what they call the mafa'ulun bihi, the direct object, and he put it before the fi'l mudari'a. Iyyaka na'budu, and we went through this about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, after Maghrib on the tafsir of Al-Fatiha for those brothers who were here. Iyyaka na'budu, you Allah, only you, alone, do we worship. Wa iyyaka nasta'in, and you do we seek for assistance. But it's not there in the Arabic, literally. That's why they put it between the parentheses. Okay. He says it causes a problem because the Arabic does not mention Jews and Christians. Now, the first tafsir ever compiled in the history of mankind was this one, Jami' al-Bayan an Ta'wil Ayy al-Qur'an by Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari. And he lived in the 4th century, 400 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a scholar of tafsir, he was a scholar of history, he was a scholar of Arabic language, he was a scholar of fiqh. 315 he died, 310. This is the first tafsir written. And I meant to write down how many volumes there are. I think there are about 15, maybe 19. 19 volumes. For Fatiha, Baqarah, and Ali Imran alone, there's 4 books like this, explaining the verses. 4! Just for those 3 surahs. Of this size. Alright? Now, let's go to Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha. And let's see what he says. And one of the special qualities of this tafsir is that this tafsir is called tafsir bil-riwayah. Tafsir bil-riwayah. Meaning, he brings the statement from the statement that Allah made in the verse, then the explanation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the explanation of the Sahabi, from, and then the Tabi'i, and then the one who followed the Tabi'i, and it's a long chain. He gives you actually the chain, just like it's hadith in this tafsir. Just like it's hadith. حَدَّثَنَا حَدَّثَنَا أَخْبَرَنَا أَنْبَأَنَا حَدَّثَنَا حَدَّثَنَا حَدَّثْتُ. That, the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this or that. Alright? So he brings the whole chain. Okay? Listen to what he says about Surah Al-Fatiha. And just be patient, inshaAllah ta'ala, and we may be able to get some benefit from the people of knowledge. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. Okay, this is, and this, just to be fair, this publication was 1988 Miladi, meaning the Gregorian calendar. It was 1408 Hijri. 1408, we're in 1415. Alright, so you know how many years ago this was published. Because if I say it's on page such and such, and somebody goes back to Tafsir Tabari like Imam Aramaya, trying to refute what I'm refuting, and they may say, oh, it wasn't on that page. You see, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So I'm telling you now when this was published so you'll know what edition it is. All right? Just to cover myself. All right? So on page 79. No, because I want to find exactly where it begins. Page 77. Tafsir Jami' al-Bayan an Ta'wil Ayy al-Qur'an by Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala. It says, القول, and please brothers who know Arabic, you have to help me this time, don't be shy, please, this is very important. القول في تأويل قوله تعالى, the statement and the explanation. Imam al-Tabari, he didn't use the word tafsir, he used the word ta'wil. The explanation of the ta'wil, and Allah uses the word ta'wil in the Quran, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. No one knows the ta'wil except Allah, which means no one knows the tafsir except Allah. And Allah, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Now, I'll read the chain. And alhamdulillah, last night, I checked these chains, alhamdulillah, and this morning, and that's one of the reasons why I'm late. And I have the entire chain of Imam al-Tabari. Every single chain, I have in a separate book that was lent to me by a brother in Islam, Abu Muslima, Abdullah ibn al-Tawfiq, Tobias. I have the actual chain for every single narration in al-Tabari. Every person. And every person that narrated on that person, and this person, and that person. At home right now in my house. So I checked these chains. This chain is authentic. It says, قَالَ أَبُو جَعْفَرُ والقراء مجمعة على قراءة غير يجر الراء منها. This is the grammatical point. Let's get straight to the text here. He says, all right, let's go to page 70, because he doesn't mention, it's all grammatical. Everything on page 77 and 78 is seeming to be grammatical. Okay, page 79. At the bottom of page 79. And I checked this one also. وحدثني علي بن الحسن. علي بن الحسن narrated to me. قال حدثنا مسلم بن عبد الرحمن. قال حدثنا محمد بن مصعب. عن حماد بن سلمة. عن سماك بن حرب. عن مروى بن قطرة. عن عدي بن حاتم. Who was who? Sahabi. We mentioned him the other night. Adi ibn Hatim. قال سألتُ رسول سألتُ النبي الله صلى الله سألتُ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن قول الله جل وعز وعزة وعزة. I asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about the meaning of Allah's statement غير المغضوب عليهم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هم اليهود. They are the Jews. They are the Jews. غير المغضوب عليهم means the Jews. Now I'm asking you brothers, pour out from your heart any type of hatred, any type of rancor, any type of enmity, any type of vagary, confusion. The narration is authentic, alhamdulillah. What would you say to a person who hears that this is what the Messenger of Allah said it means, and they reject it? They reject it. From what you know, from the least of what we understand of this belief of ours, what at least, not at most, at least, if the person is not insane, or they're not drunk, may Allah forbid, they're not intoxicated, they're not retarded, they're not ahmak, they're not an ignoramus, what would you say about a person at least who reject the clear statement of the Messenger of Allah explaining the revelation in which was revealed to him, for him to explain and not anybody else? What would you say? The least, not the most. No, not kufr is not the least. Not hypocrite. No. Excuse me? Ignorant. Ignorant. That's the least. That's the way the Salaf always rules. At least he's ignorant. At most, he's got to take shahada again. He's a kafir. If he rejects it, he's a kafir. How can you reject the explanation of the Messenger of Allah on ayah? At most they're kafir, at least they're ignorant. Alright? Let's go to the next page. وحدثنا حميد بن مصعدة الشامي قال حدثنا بشر بن مفضل قال حدثنا الجريري عن عبد الله بن شقيق أن رجلا أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو محاصر وادي القرى فقال. And please translate this inshallah for me. من هؤلاء الذين تحاصر يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال هؤلاء المغضوب عليهم اليهود. Can you please translate that, brother Shahid? I mean, we know about the chain we'll deal with, but the actual statement. أن رجلا أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو محاصر وادي القرى. أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو محاصر وادي القرى. Surrounding the valley of the villages, right? Right. Who are you surrounded by? Right? فقال من هؤلاء الذين تحاصروا يا رسول الله. نعم. تحاصروا. من هؤلاء الذين تحاصروا يا رسول الله. Right. قال المسجد الله said هؤلاء المغضوب عليهم اليهود. All right. He's explaining again the meaning of the verse. مغضوب عليهم. The people who we're doing this to, he told the man, are the people who Allah mentioned in the verse in Al-Fatiha, and they are the Jews. Alright? Let's go on. Another narration. It says, وحدثنا الحسن بن يحيى قال أنبأنا عبد الرزاق قال أخبرنا معمر عن بديل العقوقيلي قال أخبرني عبد الله بن الشقيق أنه أخبره من سمع النبي من سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو بوادي القرى وهو على فرسه وسأله رجل من بني القين فقال يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من هؤلاء قال المغضوب عليهم وأشار إلى اليهود same some of the same narration only a little more different wording that he asked them who these people were again and then the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said it was the Jews and he pointed to them and he pointed to the Jews when he was asked who is غَيْرُ مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ he pointed to the Jews so now you have the statement of the messenger of Allah his sunnah and you have sunnah to qawliyah and sunnah to fi'liyah you have the sunnah of statement and the sunnah of action so there's no mistake the messenger of Allah not only said that it was the Jews he pointed to them as emphasis are you listening brothers? Do you think I need to read any more? Alright, let's go to Waladdaleen. Whom the people who make tafsirs like this, that's exactly what they are. Daloon. They're astray. And may Allah guide them back to Islam. Amen. The real Islam. Amen. Amen. Okay. He says, Al-Qawlu fi ta'wil qawlihi ta'ala. The statement concerning Allah's explanation. Wala dhalin. He says, and he deals with, begins from the very beginning as he did before, with a grammatical note. Some grammatical notes. Alright, it says here on page 83, حدثنا محمد المثنى أنبأنا محمد بن جعفر أنبأنا شعبة عن سماك قال سمعت عباد بن حبيش يحدث عن عدي بن حاتم رضي الله عنه قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الضالين النصارى Can you please translate this for us, Shahid or Hisham?
It is the messenger
told Adi ibn Hatim
all the Christians.
Ad-Dalin, and listen to the Messenger of Allah's statement. Inna Ad-Dalin. He's using inna is a particle of nasb with tawkeed. It's a particle of accusativeness and emphasis. Verily, surely, most definitely, it is the Christians. Alright? Let's go on. حدثنا حميد بن مسعد الشامي قال حدثنا بشر بن المفضل قال حدثنا الجريري عن عبد الله بن شقيق أن رجلا أتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو محاسن وادي القرى وقال قلت من هؤلاء قال هؤلاء الضالون النصارى The exact same wording on the hadith that talks about him being in the valley surrounding the Jews is the exact same wording that's in this hadith. And he says, who are those individuals who you're doing this to? He said, they are the Dalim, the Christians. Alright? Now, let's go to Tafsir al-Qurtubi. Tafsir al-Qurtubi, the great scholar from Cordova, Spain. And this edition is 1988, 1408 too. And the Tafsir of Al-Fatiha, it says, on page 104 and 105 excuse me 105 it says that الضالين هم اليهود excuse me الضالين هم النصارى والمغضوب عليهم هم اليهود This is Tafsir al-Qurtubi. Alright? That's on page 104. Now, We read Tafsir Ibn Kathir the other day. Now let's check a more recent Tafsir by Imam Al-Qasimi. Muhammad Jamaluddin Al-Qasimi, he died in 1914. And he was one of the Imams of the Sunnah of our time. He was one of the Imams, one of the greatest scholars of Tafsir in this century. Listen to what he says. And Al-Fatiha. He says, Surat Allah's al-qawlu fi ta'wili qawlihi ta'ala, the statement concerning Allah's explanation of Surat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim al-dhalin. He says, and this is on page 24, and this edition was printed in 1978 Hijri. He says, Fawaid, excuse me, at the top, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. He says, listen to his statement, لا أعلم بين المفسرين اختلافا في أن المغضوب عليهم لليهود والضالين النصارى. Please translate that, brothers. Scholars of who? Bain al-Mufassirin. Scholars of Tafsir. I do not know any differences of opinion among the scholars of Tafsir concerning the meaning of al-Maghdubi alayhim al-Dalim, that it means Yahud and Nasara. Total agreement, brothers. Total agreement for 1415 years. And now all of a sudden, some people are coming now with no book to guide them, even though the book is in front of them, and no knowledge of the Arabic language, distorting and changing the meaning of Allah's verses the way the Muhammad himself understood it, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali understood it, Bilal, radiallahu anhu, understood it, Bilal himself understood it, and the rest of the people of the past. He says, لا أعلم بين المفسرين اختلافا. I don't know of any scholars of Tafsir who differ on the meaning of this. So where is he getting this from? Where is Imam Ahmad getting this from? Where is Imam Walid bin Muhammad getting these explanations from? They're getting it from their hawa. They're getting it from their own lust. They're getting it from their own feelings. Now whom should we be aware of then? They're saying be aware of this noble Quran. Whom should we be aware of? The people who are distorting the meaning of Allah's verses. Okay, let's go on. He says in Surah Al-Baqarah of Al-Quran, this is Imam Aramaya, the second chapter, verse 216, the author writes, this is the quote, verse 216, Jihad, and in parenthesis, Islamic holy war is ordained for you. Islamic holy war is in parenthesis, is ordained for you then in parenthesis, Muslims, though you dislike it, it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you, Allah knows, but you do not. Here he says, quote, here there is a gross mistranslation. He says, number one, the word jihad is not in the Arabic. He's absolutely right. The word jihad is not mentioned in the ayah. All right? Let's go to Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 216. Surah Al-Baqarah, this is from Tafsir al-Tabari, 216. You call me? Probably we only saw one tape though. Allah knows this. 216 of Surah Al-Baqarah. 1, 3, uh-oh, I didn't bring volume 2. SubhanAllah. Well, inshallah, I still have it here. Surah Al-Baqarah from Ibn Kathir, verse 216. We're leaving now at Tabari because I didn't bring volume 2 in the rush. I only brought volume 1 and 3. As I mentioned, Fatiha, Baqarah, and Ali Imran on about 3 or 4 books. So it says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ
وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. And the translation from Noble Quran, the seemingly corrupted translation. Jihad, Islamic holy war, is ordained for you. In parenthesis, Muslims, though you dislike it. He says, here there is a gross mistranslation. Number one, the word jihad is not in the Arabic. I like to make a point again. The word Muslims is not in the verse either. The word Muslims is in parenthesis. Muslim Khan brings the word Muslims, just like he has holy Islam and holy war, in parenthesis, but Imam Ahmad doesn't address that Muslims is not there either. So who is it talking to? Who is this verse talking to? That perhaps you love a thing which is bad for you, hate a thing which is good for you. Who is this verse talking to? Muslims. Why did the Muslim Khan put it in parenthesis, Muslims? Because that's what it means. So why didn't he address that? Alright? Now, he says the word jihad is not mentioned. Listen to what the tafsir says. هذا إيجاب من الله تعالى للجهاد على المسلمين أن يكفوا شر الأعداء عن حوزة الإسلام. Can somebody translate that, please?
This is an obligation from Allah of jihad on the Muslims.
أن يكفوا شر الأعداء عن حوزة الإسلام. When we fight in Islam, brothers, when we make qital, this is jihad. This is a synonym for jihad. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Okay, let's go on. He says, other translators, such as Yusuf Ali, translated as fighting. Fighting is prescribed for you. When one reads this new translation, it will give a wrong impression, especially in today's political climate around the world. All right? He says, jihad literally means to exert strong effort, especially against one's own self. Now, brothers, he moves from lying on Allah, hadahullah, and I'm being serious. This is like, when you do these things, you're lying on Allah. He moves from lying on Allah to lying on the Messenger of Allah. Now, he might as well get, you know, since I'm lying on Allah, I might as well lie on the Messenger too. Now, he says, listen, quote, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that the greatest jihad, jihad al-akbar, is against one's own self. Alright? Okay. Now, I have to be fair to our brother in Islam, Imam Aramiah. He doesn't quote any statement that the Messenger of Allah said this. But I imagine, I assume, that he's using a hadith that I would guarantee he never read in Arabic in his life. I repeat, I'm assuming that he's referring to a hadith that he probably never read in Arabic in his life. And one of the reasons why I believe that he never read it in Arabic, but I know what he has in his library. I know what he has in his library, and I know he doesn't have the books that mention this hadith that I think he's alluding to in Arabic. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? Do you understand what I'm telling you? I'm saying that the vast majority of American Muslims, he's not the only one, that the vast majority of American Muslims who quote hadith, they're quoting from what they heard, but they never read it. The vast majority of us. They never read the hadith in Arabic, let alone English. Alright? So I'm assuming, to give my brother in Islam, Habdahullah, may Allah guide him and all of us, Ameen. To give my brother in Islam in Jersey City the benefit of the doubt, I have brought in that hadith that I think he's alluding to, that the Prophet, he said, when he lied on him, said, that the greatest jihad is jihad al-akbar, which is jihad al-nafs. I brought that hadith in. Alright? This is a very famous book called Faidh al-Qadir, Sharh al-Jami' al-Saghir, by Imam al-Manawi. Very famous book. Alright? This publication, since I don't have the first volume, I can't tell you the publication, but it's volume 4. It's page 511. Alright? Also, I have a book here called الدرر المنتثرة في الأحاديث المشتهرة. This book is talking about the very famous hadiths that are common on the people's tongues around the Muslim world. Hadiths that we quote all the time, that are very famous, we quote it all the time, even the khutaba, even the khatibs on the minbars all around the Muslim world, they quote these hadiths. He has in this collection some that are authentic and some that are unauthentic. This is written by Imam As-Suyuti. And we all know who Jalaluddin As-Suyuti is. He's one of the greatest scholars of Quran, Tafsir of Quran, in our history. As-Suyuti, rahimahullah. He says, so people won't say I'm quoting Sheikh Al-Albani. I'm not even going to bring what Sheikh Al-Albani said, because, you know, people don't respect him. But now let's go to As-Suyuti. The great As-Suyuti. He says on this book, on page 124, and this book was printed in 1415, 1994. It's a new edition with the revisement in it by As-Sabbagh. He did the tahqiq. He did it. Muhammad Mustafa As-Sabbagh. Hadith 245. I need a translation, inshallah. رجعنا من الجهاد الأصغر إلى الجهاد الأكبر. قالوا وما الجهاد الأكبر؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم جهاد القلب. All right. Can you please translate this, please?
We came back from the big jihad.
The small jihad. You're sleepy. From the minor jihad to the major jihad. قالوا. They said. What is the major jihad of Rasulullah? He said, jihad al-qalb.
Jihad of the heart.
قال الحافظ ابن حجر على اسكلاني في تسديد القوس. Ibn Hajar على اسكلاني, brothers, they call him Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith. That's how he was. They call him Amir al-Mu'mineen of Hadith. The commander of the faithful in the area of Hadith. That's how heavy he was. He's the one that did the commentary on Al-Bukhari. He was a super duper heavyweight in hadith. He said in his book, Tasdeed al-Qawf, quote, Huwa mashhurun ala al-alsina. Please translate.
It's famous on the tongues.
This hadith is very famous on the tongues of the Muslims. Wa huwa min kilam Ibrahim ibn Abi Arbla fil kuna lil-Nasa'i. Ibrahim ibn Abi Ubla. This is not even a statement of the Messenger of Allah. It's not even a statement of the Messenger of Allah. Ibrahim ibn Abi Ubla was a tabi'i. He was one of the tabi'un. And in the book Al-Kunam by Al-Nasa'i, he brings it. Wa aqul, and now the Shaykh says, the Shaykh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says, Waru al-Khatib fi tarikhihi, that Al-Khatib, meaning Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, in his book called Tariq, he says, this hadith min hadith Jabir رضي الله عنه قال, he says, قدم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غزوة من غزات له فقال لهم رسول الله قدمت خير مقدم وقدمت من الجهاد الأصغر إلى الجهاد الأكبر. قالوا وما الجهاد الأكبر يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال مجاهدة العبد هواه. Can you please translate that statement that they say the companions made? قَدِمْتُ خَيْرَ مَقْدِمْ مَقْدِمْ. We return from what? The best of?
Best,
the best of returns. وَقَدِمْتُ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ الْأَفْغَرِ إِلَى الْجِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ. We left the minor jihad to the major jihad. قَالُوا. They said, وما الجهاد الأكبر يا رسول الله؟ What is the major jihad يا رسول الله؟ They say, he said, مجاهدة العبد هواه. The jihad against your nafs or your desires. Alright? Now at the bottom of the page, it says hadith number 245. This is the degree of the hadith. Da'if. Are you with me, brothers? The hadith is da'if.
This is a great question. No, so how can the light is going?
الجهاد الأكبر ومجاهدة العبد هواه. Okay. And also look at the fatwa of Ibn Taymiyyah. He mentions the weakness of it. With Tariq al-Baghdad, he mentions the weakness of it. And Ibn al-Hajr says, as what we mentioned at the top, it's majhoor ala al-Sina. It's very famous on the tongues of the people. Alright? Now, listen to this, brothers. And I brought this for you. This is in English. And I'm going to ask Jamaluddin Zorobozo, because of the seriousness of this issue, to allow myself to photocopy this to give this to you. This is Al Bashir magazine, March, April 1994, corresponding with Shawwal al Zulqa'dah, 1414, on page 1. He ended the series now. Well-known but non-authentic hadiths and stories. Alright? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we return from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad. He was asked, what is the greater jihad? He replied, the struggle of the heart. We just read that one, right? And another narration, it states the answer as the slave fighting his desires. And we just read that hadith also, didn't we? Alright. Now the takhrij of the hadith. What, in other words, how do you know if the hadith is authentic? This hadith was recorded by Al-Khatib in the Tariqh al-Baghdad, exactly where it says in Arabic. And also by Al-Daylami. And also by Al-Bayhaqi in his book Al-Zuhud. And the book is called Zuhud al-Kabir. Kitab al-Zuhud al-Kabir. After recording the hadith, Al-Bayhaqi wrote, the great scholar Al-Bayhaqi of hadith, its chain is da'if. Alright? Because its chain includes Isa ibn Ibrahim, from Yahya ibn al-Ala, from Layth ibn Aslam. All three of these narratives are weak. Now I checked, I didn't check both of them, I only checked one of them. The hadith is on the authority of Isa ibn Ibrahim, who narrated from Yahya ibn al-Ala, who narrated from Layth ibn Aslam. So what I did was, as a 2 cent dismal student of hadith, I went to the person in the middle of the chain. And if you brothers ever want to learn the sweetness of this deen, study the science of hadith. Study the science of hadith. So I went to the middle of that chain. I didn't look at Isa ibn Ibrahim, and I didn't look at Layth ibn Aslam, even though all three of them are weak. I just pulled out Yahya ibn Ala. Listen to what they said about Yahya ibn Ala. Imam Ahmed said, Kazzab wadda'. Kazzab wadda'. He was not only an extreme liar, he was a fabricator. He used to make up hadith and attribute it to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's one of the people in the chain whom Amaya is saying the Messenger of Allah said this hadith. Now, I'd like to read something to you. This was prepared by our brother in Islam, Abu Muslima Abdullah Tawfiq. And I hope I can find it quickly. And if I can't, I'll read it from Muslim itself, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Imam Muslim said, in his excellent, this is the introduction to the Sahih Muslim. The explanation by Imam An-Nawawi. The same Imam An-Nawawi that wrote Riyad al-Salihin and Goddess of the Righteous and the 40 Hadith and other books. Imam An-Nawawi in the explanation, bringing the statements of Imam Muslim on guarding ourselves from using unauthentic hadith. Listen to what Imam Muslim said. He said, and I have it right here, I'll give it to you in English. Imam Muslim says, this is the translation of this, in his Sahih Muslim, we have seen the wrongdoing of many of those who have appointed themselves as scholars of hadith. It was their responsibility to drop the weak hadith and the unauthentic reports and to stick to only the well-known authentic hadith which have been reported by trustworthy Muslims who are known to be honest, truthful and honest. However, we find them spreading disapproval of hadith with weak and unacceptable isnad. And I have to be fair again. Maybe Armad doesn't understand that this hadith is unauthentic. But alhamdulillah, two of our brothers in this masjid called him up and told him that the hadith is not authentic. And he rejected it and still said he's going to use it and he believes it's authentic. How does he determine that it's unauthentic? When did he study the science of hadith? Did he go back and check to see if the Messenger of Allah said it? No, they follow the hawa. They follow their vain desires. They said the Messenger of Allah said something and he didn't say it. When he said in the hadith in Muslim, من قال علي ما لم أقول فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever says that I said something and I didn't say it, let them take their seat in the hellfire. So Imam Muslim goes on. He says, they do this even though they acknowledge that a good deal of what they tell the ignorant people is objectionable and related by unacceptable people like Yahya ibn al-Ala, that person, that liar in the chain, that fabricator, that forger, even though it has been narrated by unacceptable people who have been censored, like Imam Ahmed censored him, like Yahya ibn Ma'in censored him, by the great a'imma of hadith such as Malik, Shu'bah, Yahya ibn Sa'id, Al-Ghattan, and others. He then said, quote, this is what Imam Muslim said. He said, wa'alam, wa'staqaqa Allah ta'ala, أن الواجب على كل مسلم عرف التمييز بين الصحيح روايات وسقيمها وثقات الناقلين لها من المتهمين أن لا يروي منها إلا ما عرف صحة مخارجه والستارة في ناقله وأن يتقي منها ما كان منها عن أهل التهم والمعاندين من أهل البدع. He says, you should know, may Allah grant you success, that it is the duty of everyone who is capable of distinguishing between the true and defective reports and between the truthful and disclaimed transmitters to relate only what he is sure is authentic and to stay away from that which has been transmitted by suspicious people or by stubborn advocates of bid'a. Who I have to say right now, this is what Imam Armaya and these people who follow Imam Wadhafi Muhammad are, if they continue in doing this, they are the people of bid'ah. No doubt. They are the people who are mu'anideen, and the people of dalala, and the people of hawa and bid'ah. If they believe in these things that they're saying, and they reject the explanation from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they are people of bid'ah and dalala. No doubt in my mind. He and his followers. Now, listen to what Imam Muslim said, bringing from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because somebody may say that our mind doesn't fit in this category. And this is a warning to all you brothers. And any Muslim who hears my voice on this tape until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Listen to what the Messenger of Allah said about transmitting hadith that you don't know about. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من حدث عني بحديث يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين. Whoever narrates a hadith from me and he knows that it was a lie, then he is one of the two liars. Who are the two liars? The person who, number one, the person who made up the hadith, and the second person who transmitted it and said that he said it. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تكذبوا علي فإنه من يكذب علي يلج النار. Don't lie on me. Don't lie on me. And whoever, surely whoever lies on me, they will enter into the hellfire. You said the Messenger of Allah said the greatest jihad is jihad al-akbar, is jihad of the nafs, and he didn't say it. Whoever lies on me, they're in the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah also said, after Armaya was told that the hadith is not authentic, من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever lies on me intentionally, they have their seat already waiting for them in the hellfire. All of these are in Muslim. And then lastly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إن كذبا علي ليس ككذب على أحد. Surely lying on me is not like lying on anybody else. Okay, let's go on with our lost brother in Islam and those who follow him and his imam said about the tafsir of Allah's book changing the meaning and lying on Allah. This is what he said. The new translators use the word jihad loosely through the Quran and even in Surah 3 verse 103. They use this term in the commentary. In Surah 3, Ali Imran, verse 15, and let's find this. Please sign Surah to Ali Imran, Ayah 15. Wait a minute, I think I have it. I have it. Thank you. And you can find it, inshallah. Where did I put the paper? You can please find it for me in Hisham, in from Al-Qurtubi, and Ibn Kathir, if you can find it. Al-Qurtubi and Ibn Kathir. Now he says that Muhsin Khan's translation, say, shall I inform you of things for better than those, the Al-Muttaqoon? This is the ayah. قُلْ أَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَٰلِكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. Please, Shaheed and Hisham, please don't leave. This is very serious. Don't leave yet. I know you have to go, but please stay a couple more minutes. I can't give everything. We will continue, inshallah, in between Asr and Maghrib, inshallah. وَرَضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. The translation from Muhsin Khan. Say, shall I inform you of the things far better than those for Al-Muttaqoon, in parenthesis, the pious? They are gardens, in parenthesis, paradise. In parenthesis, paradise. The translation says gardens, and in parenthesis, paradise, which rivers flow. Therein, in parenthesis, is there eternal, in parenthesis, home, and pure wives. In parenthesis, they will have no menses, urine, or stool, etc. And Allah will be pleased with them, and Allah is all seer of, parenthesis, his, and then out of the parenthesis, slaves. Our Maya says, therein is their eternal home and pure wives. They will have no menses, urine, or stool. Then he has a question mark. Like, what is this people, how are they translating this stuff? They will have no menses, urine, or stool. This is what he's saying at the end, with the question mark. Alright? He said the translation from the Arabic again causes problems. Pure wives, in quote, Armai says, Habahullah, may Allah guide him in us, ameen. He says, that is, they will have no menses, urine, or stool, etc. He said the Arabic says as wajum mutahara. Now listen to what Armaya says. Hadahullah. May Allah guide him. He said as wajum mutahara literally means pure mates. He's right, isn't he right? Literally it means pure mates, right? Am I right, Saeed? It means pure mates. He's absolutely right. Now listen to what he says. In bold type, this purity means cleanliness, but it should not be taken as purely physical cleanliness of menses, urine, and stool, which is not in the Arabic. Okay? Now let's go to Tafsir al-Tabari and listen to what it says. It says, وَأَنَّ الْأَزْوَاجَ الْمُطَهَرَ, as for pure mates, هُنَّ نساء الجنة اللواتي طهرن من كل أذى يكون بنساء أهل الدنيا من الحيض والمني والبول والنفاس. Can you please translate this?
They are the women of paradise
who have been purified
from any
كل أذى
impurities.
يكون بالنساء أهل الدنيا من الحيض, from menses, والمني, from sperm, والبول, والurine, والنفاس, and postnatal bleeding. That's the tafsir, right there. I highlighted it. Page 206. Let's go to Al-Qurtubi. This is Ibn Kathir. أزواج مطهرة. This is Ibn Kathir. أي من الدنس والخبث والأذى والحيض والنفاس وغير ذلك مما يعتري نساء الدنيا. Can you please translate this?
Meaning from
الدنس والخبث from filth, indecency, الأذى from harm, الحيض from menses,
when nifas and postnatal bleeding, and any of the other things that the women of the dunya are accustomed to having. Where did Armaya get his tafsir? Why did he reject the clear-cut tafsir that we have from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Alright? Now here's the height of ignorance. Listen to what he says after this. This is the height of ignorance. The word azwajun is not the feminine form of the word. SubhanAllah. The word azwajun is not the feminine form of the word. Now, let's go back to At-Tabari. Give me that, please. Confuse me. Inshallah. All right. Okay. Let's go to verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, because Al-Qurtubi doesn't deal with Azwaj al-Mutahara because in Ali Imran, in the verse in question, chapter 3, verse 15, because he already dealt with it in verse 25. Wallah says, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. So he didn't deal with it in Ali Imran because he already dealt with أزواج مطهرة in Surah Al-Baqarة. Listen to what they say. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَالْأَزْوَاجُ جَمْعُ زَوْجٍ. That azwaj is the plural of zawj. وَهِيَ امْرَأَةُ الرَّجُلِ. And that is the woman, the wife of the man. Right? Okay. Now, listen to what Armaya says after this. If it was azwajatun, this means, you see, Shaheed is laughing. Look at, he said they're laughing. They're laughing. He said, they ought to be mad immediately, they laugh. You know why they're laughing, brothers? Listen, he says, if it was azwajatun, this means only feminine. The purity should be the purity of the soul. We know that the body will not physically be in paradise. SubhanAllah. See, that's not the issue. That's another issue that I overlooked. Brothers, the word azwaj is the plural of zawj. Azwajun, as you will learn in your Arabic classes, is jama'u taksir. It's a broken plural. All broken plurals are feminine. Armaya says it's not feminine. Then he goes beyond that and says, because it doesn't have the ta'al marbuta, it's not feminine. It's masculine. Brothers, jama'u taksir can't take a ta'al marbuta. That's why they call broken plurals. Ta'al marbuta is that ta' at the end. When you say khalifatun, aishatu, right? It's that ta', the closed ta' with the dot. You have an open ta', they call it maftuha, and a closed ta', marbuta. You can't put a closed ta' on a broken plural. It's not permissible. It doesn't even exist in Arabic. He's saying that the word has to be azwajatun. It doesn't even exist. He's made up a whole new word in the Arabic language. It doesn't even exist. This alone, brothers, you when did you learn this in school, Akhi, when you were in school, as a child? Second grade, he's from Egypt, in Morocco. When did you learn this? Second grade. SubhanAllah. These are the people who you people are relying on for your explanation of Quran and Sunnah. I'm going to end it here, brothers. I'm going to end it here. We're going to continue, inshallah, between the Asr and Maghrib. If anybody has any questions right now, once again, we want to purify intentions, but wallahi, brothers, we got to start talking about these people. We got to start mentioning names, because these people are destroying Islam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. If anybody has any statements or comments, please say it.
No. So, that means that last year Muhammad did not be correct.
Absolutely. That means that people who, that's right, what you learn in the Master Muhammad and any other master that follows that man, Imam Wallace bin Muhammad, that's what I'm saying. That's right. If you go there and take your tafsir from there, you will be astray. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
I noticed after a great class, they had a business contact on. A bunch of brothers there, they break their fast there, they eat, and they don't eat what they're doing. They're sick. And these brothers,
that's a small thing, Afi. Muslims do that who don't follow Imam Wallace bin Muhammad. That's a small thing. That's irrelevant. We're talking about lying on Allah and lying on the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever wants to break fast, they can break fast with the Shia, for all I care. They can break fast with the Masons. We're talking about lying on Allah, Afi. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ أَفْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُوَ يُدْعَى إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. Who is he who is worth, Allah says, and who lies and vents a lie on Allah when they've been invited to Islam?
No.
No.
I heard a statement from one of the callers out here. I want to give you some statement. They were saying that if the Prophet was just on Islam, and do I believe that he would be riding on the best mule or camel that he had? He said, no, brother. If he was here today, he would be riding, he would have a vent. And I argued this point until I walked away from it. And I couldn't understand why we even said
it. Just a minute, he's speaking. Just a minute. Yeah, in all due respect, Rashaan, really, this is irrelevant too. This is irrelevant. What the Prophet would be riding if he was here today, what he'd be wearing if he was here today. Lying on Allah and His Messenger is the question. This is the issue, brothers. Changing the meaning of the verses of Quran to suit your own feeling because you don't want to talk about jihad in America. You don't want to make the people feel like you're going to run them away from Islam. The Messenger of Allah said, "Khayru man dhubi alayhi wa dhalim," is the Jews and the Christians. Now, if they want to run away because of that, that's up to them. But this is who we ask Allah not to make us like every single day, and then we be like them by changing the meaning of the verses. Every day you say, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And then you go right behind that after saying السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, and do what the Jews did by changing the meaning of the verses. What's the use of making the saying Ameen and after saying, oh Allah accept it, and you go right behind that Ameen and lie on Allah and His Messenger? Yes,
akh. You asked us a question. What?
And the flyer that they put out about Abu Muslimah, Alhamdulillah, I would love my name to be put on that flyer that they have down there, Master Muhammad, so I can be in the auspicious company on that flyer with Abu Muslimah for his statement.
Well, you will be.
Go ahead,
Akh. After that, what we would say about that was the least we would say is the ignorance and...
It's more than ignorance, Akh. This is ignorance, this is arrogance, too. Because for 20 years, we've been bringing these people this stuff, brother. For 20 years. And they keep saying, we're in transition, we're growing. They're getting worse, Akhi. Brothers, do you know in one of that masjids they had Melba Moore singing in the masjid? You know in another masjid, brother, they had a choir in the masjid? Singing gospel songs, brother. No, this is just not ignorance, Akhi. This ideology has been placed here to destroy Islam. No doubt in my mind, brother. And for 20 years, brother, after talking to them and talking to him, some of us talked to him, it's clear, brother, it's just not ignorance, it's clear, brother, that this is a plot to lead people away from real Islam. Go ahead.
Allah addressed them in Surah Al-Baqarah when he said, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ الْإِثْمُ فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. You can translate that, but the thing is, how long you keep talking about them and what that leads to, and is that our main goal or not? We have to defend the Prophet's statement and the Quran, because we can. This is a reason for us to write somebody changing the Quran. But the fitna that comes out of this,
Is that what we want to consider right now? That's the question that I want
to ask. Well, brother, we have to do what we can do. Those among these individuals who want guidance, if they want to learn real Islam, then they'll go to the people who have the knowledge of the real Islam. Those people who want to be among them who are ignorant and arrogant, who want to go on their desires, we have to leave them alone. But those people who are sincere, and I'm saying this for the tape, like my two brother-in-laws, my wife's two brothers, one an imam under Imam Al-Rafi Muhammad, one of the brothers, wallah, I've been married for 15 years. They helped me more in my marriage than anybody I know. I love them dearly. But when it comes to this stuff, these strange interpretations, etc., these beliefs, these concepts that they have, I tell them just exactly what I'm telling you now. Alhamdulillah, one of the two of them is coming around. Alhamdulillah. So if they're sincere, we have to pay attention to them. But if they keep with this ignorant arrogance, akhi, we have to boycott them. And what I mean by boycott them, we don't read their books, we don't sit with them in their classes, we don't visit their masjids, etc. Now,
there's an individual that knocked all hadith, and he was appointed as the imam, he has books that he go get that like knocks all hadith, basically because he says that we need the Quran but we don't need the hadith. And if we can get some tapes from this particular individual, you'll hear a whole lot of business on this one individual about knocking hadith.
Once again, brothers, this is not new. People did this before. They didn't make this stuff up. This is something they adopted. And that's not the issue. The issue is lying on Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, and you already said something already, so let this brother go and then whoever else, and then we can go, inshallah. And we'll continue right after Asr, inshallah, up to Maghrib. Inshallah ta'ala.
I know in the talk, you said that, and correct me if I misquote, you said that the least we can say is that these people are jahra, that they're ignorant, and the most that we can say is that these people...
I didn't say that.
Help me out. What did you say?
I said, at least, the person is ignorant. I didn't say them. I said the person who does this.
Okay.
I mean.
And at the most, the person who does this is what? Kufr or disbelief?
If it's been clear to them, to the person who believes like this, that this is the explanation of the Quran from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from the Sahaba, and they reject it after it's been made clear to them, the proof has been given to them. If they reject it, you or I, or any Muslim, you're kafir. This is clear, brothers. I mean, you don't have to get rocket scientists to understand that.
No, I know. But that was the reason I asked it, because I want to know, at what injunction do we say?
We don't say, because you're not an alim and neither am I. When do we say that kafir?
Yes.
No, you don't have that much knowledge to say that.
If they deny something,
you can't make a whole community of people kafir,
no,
you have to talk to the individual. But don't be quick to make them kafir.
I'm not quick, but I just want to know,
y'all. It's not important. Then what is important is to dispel the darkness. That's the most important thing. And let the early man make them kuffar. And it's coming, eh? It's coming. Believe me. I've been on the phone, brother, and it's coming, akhi. Believe me. Naam. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Is it possible that you could meet with Imam Maya and bring him up on the information that you have based on the fact that you have the facts to bring it to him and show him what it is where it states that clearly?
It's been done.
Oh, it's been
20 years I've been doing this, huh?
So I'm saying...
Brother, I've been doing this, brother. I talked to Armand, for instance, about 6 or 7 years ago, about a hadith which he rejected in al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you may leave when the people are in Umrah, and while you're in Ihram, you can leave Arafat with your penises dripping with semen. He said he rejects that hadith because he don't believe the Messenger of Allah would say that. Because he didn't understand the kinaya of the Arabic language.
Your penis is dripping with semen. That's just not the first time. It's been at least a dozen of issues I've talked to them about. This is just another example, that's all. And they keep rejecting it. And they keep rejecting it. 20 years, I think. What are you talking about, 3 months? 20 years. But I've been with this man and other people like him. And I'm talking about him specifically. Not him, another one of them. His name is Zaki Abdul Hamid. He was the imam of Comstock Prison, if he's still there. Great medals. Used to be the imam of Musi Khalifa. One day, wallahi, he shows him sitting on this floor right now, in the month of Ramadan, fasting, akhi. I'm very aware of lying. I asked him, I said, if Musa and Isa and Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Imam Warazi Muhammad came into this building right now, who would you follow? He said, Imam Warazi Muhammad. 20 years it's been going on, akh. Anybody else? No. Alaykum salam. Any masjid that will bring you the statement of Allah with an authentic hadith from the Messenger of Allah, the way the companions understood it and practiced it, that's where you should go. Any masjid that brings you the statement of Allah and the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah as understood by the companions and those who follow them. I mean, like Ali radiallahu anhu said, if you want to know the truth, you don't know the truth by the people of truth. Get to know the truth and you'll know the people of truth. Anybody else? Speak up, Ach.
In Washington, D.C. area right now, it's actually been, I'd say, about 11 months. There has been a campaign going on from one of the imams of the Warfare Muhammad community who has said and written with his own hand a paper which says that hadith is not revelation. It's not a compliment. It's not the companion. It's not the revelation alongside with the Quran. So he only says that we only take Quran, hadith, we can leave it off because that's words of men. And it's not words from the Messenger of Allah or anything like that, it's just words of men.
This is common among them. Do you have others among them who will say they believe in the Sunnah and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they don't really believe in it because their explanation of it is from their own desires. So it's just like not having it. They say that they believe in Quran and Sunnah, but when you talk to them, they only explain the hadith of the Messenger of Allah or the verses of Quran based on their own thinking. On their own thinking. And those individuals who are supposed to be knowledgeable of the Arabic language, among them, like Darnell Kareem and Qasim Ahmed, I know for a fact, brothers, that these people don't know Arabic language. I know this for a fact, that they don't know the Arabic language. And if you want to have that verified, talk to Abu Muslim when he talks to Darnell Kareem. Talk to them. These people don't know the Arabic language, Akhi. They don't know Islam. And they're leading people astray, Akh. No.
For the people who agree that Maghdubi alayhim and Dalin are the Christians and the Jews, but they're trying to hide the meaning because of the excuse that they're going to give da'wah. Don't they know that the Prophet ﷺ is the best example for us for giving da'wah?